I want to begin this morning by asking you to think about the word yes. It's a common and simple three-letter word, but that word can be really powerful when it's spoken or written with conviction. We use it to affirm an oath of citizenship, to declare a commitment in marriage vows, to confirm a testimony in a court of law, to express a preference when we vote in an election, to convey acceptance of a settlement, to signal agreement when we're negotiating the purchase of something. And in so many other consequential ways, we use that little word, yes. Yes is a word of affirmation. It's a word of consent. It's a word of agreement. It's a word of approval. When we say yes, we respond in a positive way to a question that's been asked or to a request that's been made. And the consequence that flows from that yes can have a great impact in our lives and in the lives of other people. Now, while this is true, the power of yes is never better and never greater than when it's an expression of our positive response to the Lord, in as much as we are taking God at His word. This morning, we're going to begin a new series that others are going to help me preach, entitled, The Power of Yes, Taking God at His Word. Over the next 5 weeks, we are going to look together here on Sunday mornings at the power of yes in the lives of men and women who God asked to do specific things, and who decided, when God so asked them, to take God at His word. And we'll discover together just how powerful yes was in their lives, but also, and in some ways more importantly, how powerful yes can be in our lives when that yes is our response to God because we've decided to take Him at His word. We're going to begin today with an ordinary man who said yes to God and then was empowered by God to do an extraordinary thing and to experience an extraordinary outcome. So we're going to look together this morning at the strength and salvation in the life of Noah. And the Bible records the story of Noah in Genesis 6, 7, and 8. There's way too much there for us all to read through this morning. And I'm sure many of you have some familiarity with the story of Noah. What I'm going to do is just cherry pick a couple of sections out, one out of chapter 6, one out of chapter 7, that kind of piece together for us the essence of the story. So I'm reading from the NIV, and the first of the two scriptures I'm going to read is Genesis chapter 6, verses 9 to 14. You'll see it on the screen there, and this is what it says, beginning in verse 9. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on the earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. Then I'm going to jump forward to chapter 7, verse 1, and this is what we read. The Lord then said to Noah, Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you seven of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and two of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate, and also seven of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made. And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters came on the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Pairs of clean and unclean animals, of birds, of all the creatures that move along the ground, male and female, came to Noah and entered the ark as God had commanded Noah. And after the 7 days, the floodwaters came on the earth. Now, the story of Noah, I submit to you this morning, is probably one of the most well-known of all the biblical stories. I mean, even people that aren't Christians, that aren't Jews, that don't read the Bible, have some kind of vague recollection or idea about this guy Noah who built something called an ark and a whole bunch of animals that came in. It's a very well-known biblical story. This is how it goes in short. We just read the earth was corrupt and full of violence and that people on the earth had corrupted their ways. Things had gotten so bad that God decided to wipe out all the people and every creature and start over again with Noah, his family, and the numbers and species of animals that God directed him to bring into the ark. And Noah was to build this ark that would be a place of refuge and rescue for him, his family, and those animals. And when he had completed the ark and gone in with his family and the creatures, as God directed him, God's judgment came upon the earth, and it came in the form of a flood. And that flood lasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And it destroyed everything living on the earth. After 40 days and 40 nights, the rain stopped. And Noah waited for dry land to appear again. And when it did, God gave him the word to leave the ark. And so together with his wife and extended family and all those creatures, he left the ark. And as it goes on to say later in this account, for the purpose that God sent them out of the ark, which was to multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase. Now that, in summary, is the story of Noah. There's lots of great lessons in this story for us as believers, including the fact that you're never too old. This guy was 600 years old when this happened. But I think there's no greater lesson in this story for us than the lesson of the power of yes. And when I say that, this is not psychobabble masquerading as biblical truth. I'm talking about the reality of our response to God from the heart by faith. There is no greater lesson in this story than that of the power of yes, displayed in the life of Noah as he responded to God and took God at God's word. There's two awesome realities that Noah experiences in this whole story, in his relationship with God as he walks out that relationship, that have direct bearing on how we experience our relationship and with God and walk that out now. And both of these realities are expressions of God's favor. And we know that because that's what the scripture says. In Genesis 6:9, it said this, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." What did he find in the eyes of the Lord? Favor. And these two awesome realities that he experienced, and I'm going to talk about this morning, he experienced because he found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And the first is this, strength to complete God's assignment. Strength to complete God's assignment. Think for a moment, if you would with me, of the assignment that was given to Noah, right? He was told to build this ark. I did a little research this week based on the specs of this ark as they're laid out biblically, and they are there if you want to read them in chapter 6. It would be tantamount to you or I being told to construct a small cargo ship today. That was the task in front of this guy. That was his assignment. And to be honest, it's unlikely that he ever built an ark before. Now, I say unlikely because we don't know anything really about his prior life. All we know is that when the story first begins, he's over 500 years old, and he's got three sons. And when the whole story comes to fruition, he's 600 years old. But we don't really know anything else about Noah's life before this other than that. However, based on the fact that there's no mention of him building anything before this, including an ark, together with the fact that he was now given direct instructions by God to build this ark for this reason, that God was going to bring judgment on the earth in the form of a flood, something he'd never done before and something he was never going to do again. You put all that together, and it's probably safe to say this was, for Noah, a new assignment and definitely a unique one. But think a little bit more with me about that assignment. This task would have cost him a lot in terms of time, energy, and resources. And on top of all that, he was doing it in the context of a world that the scripture makes clear here several times was totally corrupt and very violent, which means that all the time he was involved in that building process with his family, they were exposed to the potential dangers and risks of a corrupt and violent world around them. And I'm sure endless ridicule, relentless ridicule, because they're building this big ark, talking about this flood coming, and the lands are dry. But notwithstanding all of that, I want you to see this. Noah completed the task. He got it done. There's a phrase at the end of chapter 6 that's repeated almost verbatim in chapter 7 that reveals that Noah finished the project that God had given him, and he did it through the power of, yes, working in his life, whereby he took God at God's word. And this is what it says in Genesis 6, verse 22. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. There's no better definition of the power of yes working in his life, taking God at his word, than this demonstration of complete obedience. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Noah's obedient yes to God, to God's command, was an expression of faith in God's word. Because God had said something else to Noah that I didn't read to you earlier. I'm going to read to you now. It's in chapter 6, verses 17b and verse 18. And it's this. God said to Noah, everything on the earth will perish, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark. You and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives will be with you. When God called Noah, he promised him a covenant. He said, I'm going to enter into agreement with you, Noah. I'm going to enter into a solemn covenant with you. You will be saved. You will go into that ark. So will your wife. So will your sons and your sons' wives and all those creatures that God told him to bring into the ark. God entered into covenant promise with Noah. And Noah believed what God said. You don't go about starting to build this mammoth ark in the context he was in unless you're believing the word that God spoke to you. And Noah believed God. And he had to, because nothing changed around him. The world was just as corrupt, the world was just as violent, and there was no rain. And yet day after day, month after month, he kept building this ark. Noah chose to say yes. He chose to say, I believe your word, and I trust in your provision, God. And as he did so, God released the power of his grace to give Noah the strength, not only to undertake the task, but to complete the task. So real was the power of yes in Noah's life, so loud was the affirmation of God's word and his spirit that it resonates right through the pages of Scripture. And when we get to the New Testament, we find these words in the book of Hebrews. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness that comes by faith. What a testament to Noah there, echoed in the New Testament. Here's the point, people. Like Noah, each one of us has a high and holy calling in Christ. He has a task for us to perform. He has a task for you to perform. He has an assignment for each one of us. He has an assignment for you. An assignment that he doesn't want you to just get started on, but which he wants you to complete. And it's all within the grace of his sovereign plan. Like Noah, you and I have found favor in the eyes of the Lord. You and I are recipients of God's grace, aren't we? If you're a believer this morning, you know you are a recipient personally of the grace of God. The favor of God is on your life. Well, if that's true, and it is, when the Word of God declares he called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, as Paul penned that out in 2 Timothy 1:9, you can see it there on the screen. You have a holy calling from God, and it's not something to do with works you've done. It's according to his own purpose and grace. He has a purpose and grace that connect to the calling that God has on your life. When we read that, we must believe that it's true and see ourselves as the called of God. When the Word of God asserts we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life, we must trust that we are who God created us to be. And furthermore, we must do the good works that he prepared in advance for us to do. I'm spitting, I apologize. That's not very refined. We Englishmen like to think we're refined. We're really not, but we were enculturated into that. When God's word exhorts, each one of you should use whatever gift he's received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms, we should embrace that reality. Not just give mental assent to it, embrace it. Take hold of it. Recognize that we have been given a gift and gifts to serve others and share God's grace when we do so. Look, and so it goes in life with Christ. These are just three biblical references I could go on. So it goes in our walk with Jesus. When we respond to the word that God speaks to us with the power of yes, taking him at his word and mixing faith with it, then God will give us the strength not only to step into the assignment that he's given us, to endure as we do, but to bring it to completion. Noah was told to build an ark, and he was given strength to do it. Here's my challenge, and I believe God's word to your heart and mind this morning. Whatever God is calling you to build, and he is calling you to build something in his purpose and grace, whatever he's calling you to build, he will give you the grace and strength to do it. But let me say this. It won't happen unless you say yes and take God at his word. The second amazing thing I want you to see that was true for Noah in this story is this. The salvation to escape God's judgment. Noah didn't just receive strength. in order to complete the assignment God gave him. Although, as I just explained, he did receive that strength. He received salvation that was necessary to escape the judgment that was coming on the earth. The covenant promise was that he and his family would enter the ark and be saved from the floodwaters of God's judgment. Everything living on the earth was destroyed, but Noah and his extended family were saved. This is the main point of the story. The purpose of the story is not that God sent a flood. If you think that's the purpose of the story of Noah, you've missed it. The purpose of the story is not that God sent a flood. The purpose of the story is that God saved Noah. That's the purpose of the story. That's the core message that God is getting across here. This was the reason for the building of the ark. And when it was completed, God spoke to Noah and told him to enter and take his family and all those creatures with him. And here again, we see the power of yes in the life of Noah. Because after the Lord tells Noah to go into the ark, this is what we read in Genesis 7:5. And it's almost exactly what we read in Genesis 6:22. And these are the words, "And Noah did all." And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. This is another demonstration, another affirmation of his yes. He did all that the Lord commanded him. I want you to see that Noah was not presumptuous and Noah was not self-reliant. He didn't try to save himself and his family apart from God, and he didn't try to do it on his terms and in his time. He responded again with yes, the yes of faith, and took God at his word at the right time, in the right way, and he took with him those that God told him to take. Here's the lesson for us, all of us, in Noah's salvation from the floodwaters. The ark is really a picture of Christ. The ark is a type or an illustration of Jesus. It's a place of rescue, of refuge. It kept Noah and his family from judgment. And so we that are in Christ have been kept from a greater judgment that is coming upon this earth. In the will and purpose of God, we have been saved from judgment because we are now hid in the ark of Christ. He's done everything necessary to secure us so that we will not experience the judgment of God. Noah was delivered, and so will we all be delivered in Christ. The Bible makes it clear. It says this: "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, he wants to know you personally. He wants to bring you into a relationship with him. He wants to bring you out of darkness into light, out of the kingdom of the God of this world into the kingdom of the Son he loves. And all of that is available to you if you will exercise the power of yes and respond to the favor of God that's on offer. The scripture says this, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's a covenant promise. God made a covenant promise to Noah. He's made a greater covenant promise to all of us in Christ. Say yes to God and know the salvation that only he can provide if you've never done that. Now, just in the event that most of you switched off because most of you have already done that and you are Christians, let me draw this in to another application about salvation here that speaks to us that have already made that commitment. You may already be in the ark of Christ this morning. And most of the people in my hearing right now are. I know that to be the case. But there's something else for us here in this story. Notice that after the floodwaters came, Noah and his family were secure in the ark for 40 days and 40 nights. and they floated on the surface of the waters. During that time, though, think about this. And if you saw the movie Noah, it wasn't great, but if you saw the recent movie of Noah that they did, they kind of captured this aspect of it fairly well, I thought. But when they were in that ark for 40 days and 40 nights, that rain was pounding on the ark. It was coming down hard, relentless, nonstop rain, pounding on the ark. That ark was being buffeted and bounced all over the place. And for those inside, it was not a comfortable journey. Then the rain stopped. And Noah and his family had to wait for the waters to recede and the dry land to appear. Do you know how long they waited? Huh? No, not 7 days. They waited an entire year before they got off that vessel. They had to wait on that vessel with those stinky, smelly animals for one full year. Not only that, they had to live with one another. You know how families can be when they're cooped up together for too long? Think of Thanksgiving and Christmas. You know how that gets? It's like, enough already. Time out. Goodbye. These guys had to wait a year before they could get off. This is what I want to say to us by application, simply this. Although we're secure in Christ, sometimes the ark we're in, and we are secure in Christ, that 40 days and 40 nights speaks to the reality that in the ark of Jesus, we are secure when we put our faith and trust in Him. But look, in the journey, there are going to be times when the ark we're in gets pounded on, when the ark we're in gets bounced all over the place, when the ark we're in gets buffeted by outside forces that we can't control. And sometimes we just have to stand firm and wait to see the salvation of our God. Because it will come. It will come in our lives. But so often, I know I want plain sailing. I want tranquil waters. I don't want to get bounced around. So often we want instantaneous deliverance in our lives. Sometimes, like Noah, we have to wait to see the salvation of our God. I'm sure that Noah and his family, after day 20, was like, okay, enough. You know, we're ready to get off now. I'm sure when that rain stopped, they were ready to get out onto dry land. I'm not sure that living on the ark for another year was in their plan, but it was in God's. Remember, the salvation we've received by grace is full and free. But Paul says this about our salvation. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good pleasure. Whose pleasure is God acting toward and for and on behalf of? It's not you and me, it's His good pleasure. Now, there are pleasures we experience at His right hand, but He's working His will for His own good pleasure. And our part is to work out our salvation with fear, and that fear there does not mean a fear that causes us to be afraid, as in tormented with fear. It means to respect God. Continue to work out your own salvation with respect for God and trembling that you have a high and holy calling, that God has called you, that God is at work in you. Grace that saves us also empowers us to work out our salvation, which we have received freely. Let me say that again, because this is important for us to get a hold of. Grace that saves us also empowers us to work out the salvation that we have received freely. As we do, that salvation will enable us not only to escape the final judgment at the end of time when Jesus comes back and ushers in His kingdom in fullness and the final judgment happens, not only will we be saved from that in the future, the power of God's salvation is such that we can experience being saved now. And what I mean by that is we can escape the corroding, violent, and corrupting influence of the world around us, which in many respects today is kind of like it was then. God doesn't want us to be subject to that. Here's the New Testament commentary with apostolic authority that drives this home. And this is what it says in 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. You have everything you need through the divine power of Jesus to live a life of godliness. Through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness, through these he has given us his very great and precious promises. He's given us precious covenant promises, just like he gave to Noah. So that through them you may participate in the divine nature. What's God's intention for you in this age? That you participate in the divine nature. That you experience it, live it, walk it, triumph in it. This is God's intention for us. It's not that we wait around for deliverance until the end of time. It's that we bring that future deliverance from judgment that God has promised us down into the present by faith when we take God at his word. So that through them you may participate in the divine nature, and look at the rest of it, and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desire. How do we escape the corruption that's in the world? I'll tell you how. By putting faith in the precious promises that God has given to us, whereby we have everything we need to live godly lives. And in so doing, we participate in God's very nature. This is what Noah did. He chose life and godliness, living out his salvation that was coming even before it was fully realized. He put faith in the promises of God when they were still yet to be fulfilled. This is how it is with us, and this is how we live a kingdom life. We are saved. We are being saved. We will be saved. But now we are living in the being saved reality of working out our own salvation. And those great and precious promises of God are the means by which, when we take God at his word by faith and say yes, that we get to participate in that divine nature and we get to live the kingdom instead of being subject to the corrupting influence of the world around us. Wherever you are in your journey with Jesus this morning, and every single one of us is in a different place, and that's cool with God. That's totally cool with God. We're on a journey, and we're all in different places. But wherever you are, I encourage you this morning, I exhort you, say yes to him and the reality of his salvation at work in you. And experience the power of God's deliverance now. You don't have to wait until Jesus comes back for that to be a part of your experience. You can do it now. So let me end with this. The power of yes means taking God at his word. Noah did it. You can do it. The reality is there's no other way to live in God, to really live in God. When you say yes and take him at his word, combining it with faith, you will have the strength to complete whatever assignment God gives you, and you will have the power of his salvation enabling you to live a purposeful kingdom life. So, let's stand.